In Philippians, Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you guys. Always in every prayer of mine for you, in making requests with joy for your fellowship of the gospel and in the gospel. From the first day even to now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun the good work in us will perform it until the day of his coming. And then in Ephesians he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing him, so that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of his calling in your life, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in you, in the saints. And also, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. So I was getting a little bit stirred about a couple of things. I was thinking about the concept of being that this is our first little breakfast of the winter season. Really what came to me was the two baptisms. Baptism of water and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which there's such a mystery to that and to both of them, and there's so many layers of revelation to it. Because in one sense you want to say, well, there's John's baptism in water, fulfilling the scripture and fulfilling the law of repentance from dead works. And then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which John said Jesus would administer. And as you know, as we've talked about a lot, that the church is comfortable with baptism in water, the church is not comfortable with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right. And with the speaking in other tongues. And all the other things that go along with it. The church isn't really comfortable with healing. The only people right. that are really comfortable with it are people that need it.
Right.
And so, but, and I know we've talked about it, but I felt like maybe we need to go over it a little more, because why two baptisms? And you know, the scripture says, one Lord, one faith, one Spirit, one baptism. Well, if he says one baptism, how come I'm saying two? Well, Hebrews says that we can move on from the doctrine of
baptisms,
plural. So you have to have a working revelation and knowledge, a knowing of the Lord to understand the Word. When you read it scholarly, you won't get it. When you read it filled with the Spirit, it'll start coming alive to you, and you'll understand that it's a working, living, energizing Word, an enzyme that has many more properties than just knowing, just learning. So, but why two baptisms? Well, what's the first baptism? The baptism in water. We'll say that's the first one. That's the one John gave. Well, what is that, in fact?
Repentance.
Okay.
Type and shadow of the sun.
No, it's actually your death.
The old man.
Now here's here's the mystery. The mystery is Holy Father in heaven, not on earth. Holy Father in heaven, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So God's kingdom, the heavenly kingdom, is also inhabited by heavenly people. And what is the hope of our calling? What is the overall plan? Well, Jesus told us in that prayer. The overall plan is that the kingdom that exists in heaven would exist on earth. Mm-hmm. Now, we know the kingdom to be the government of God, God's government, which is God's realm. It's not only his realm, it's his authority, it's the spirit of his being, it's his existence, it's his nature, it's his essence. And so the prayer is that God's government would come to the earth as it is in heaven. Now, you might ask, well, okay, how's that going to happen? Well, put it to you like this, you have a neighbor. You have neighbors on both sides, across the street, whatever. And your neighbor, and you are really friendly, but your neighbor has absolutely no authority over you, and you have no authority over your neighbor. Your neighbor can't make your life, he can't legally do a thing to you. He has no more power over your life than you have over his. And so one day there's an election, and your neighbor becomes the chief of police. Or the prosecuting attorney, or the mayor, the governor, or president. What's changed? All of a sudden now, he's your neighbor, has the authority to take everything you have away from you, if he so chooses. I didn't say legally or unlegally, not legally, but he all of a sudden has all the power to do, to make your life, to bless your life, or to make your life miserable. Or in some cases, to kill you if he wanted to. Right? So would you say the government killed you? Would you say the state took your property away? Would you say the military came and took your house away? We, more than likely, we would say that. Because their representatives, that's where they get their authority from. But in fact, the military didn't do a thing to you. The chief of police didn't do a thing to you. Your neighbor did.
Yeah. It's like the story of Ben-Hur.
Your neighbor did. The same neighbor that had no power, no authority, all of a sudden came into authority and power. The government didn't take it away from you. He did. And what caused him to do good or evil? The main spirit of influence over his life. Whatever he adhered to, whatever he gave himself to, he became. Okay? So, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. How's that going to happen? It happens through each individual person that adheres to the government of God. And so when we think about these prayers, it lends itself to a tremendous depth of wisdom and understanding as to what Paul's even praying for the church, for you and I, for. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give you the spirit of wisdom and understanding in knowing Him. And knowing what is His purpose and His will and the cause for which He's brought us into the kingdom. So, we have kind of a interesting concept in the whole satellite realm, the realm of satellites. Satellites beam information and video and all that down to Earth, where we have access to what's going on all over the world at any given time, at any given moment. And in order to enlighten this community with what the information of the satellite, the information that the satellite has, what does this community need to receive the information from the satellite?
A receiver.
Yeah. Needs a receiver. Used to have to have a big dish. Okay? Now they have little receivers. And a little receiver on top of a mud hut can bring the signal to whoever horizontally is connected to that little mud hut receiver, which could be thousands. Okay? So, what's that a type and a shadow of?
You adhering yourself to the kingdom.
Yeah, that's a type and a shadow of the message from heaven coming down to the earth. Well, who can receive it? Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. How's that? So, what does the Lord need happening down here? He needs
receivers.
Right? Mm-hmm. This isn't anything new, but it can lend itself to a great revelation. So, the active receiver, what entails an active receiver. What do you, what's the receiver? What activates the receiver?
It's got to have power, yeah. It's got to be.
Not our way.
Pointed in the right direction.
Huh?
It's got to be pointed in the right direction.
Well, the receiver has to be connected.
Right,
the right frequency.
Yeah. Right frequency, able to hear from the satellite, receive from the satellite.
Sense have an account with the satellite.
So it's got to have the same spirit.
Being filled with the
spirit. See? It's not enough to know where the satellite's at and be looking at the right direction and everything if you're not activated with the same frequency, same spirit. You won't receive it. There's a code. Mm-hmm. And you've got to be, it's got to be hooked up. It's got to be paired or whatever you want to call it. Well, have you ever considered when you activate something, like I was activating my wireless printer, trying to get it to work downstairs, and for some reason I couldn't get it to receive. And my phone has a hotspot on it, and I thought, okay, I need my phone, because it was receiving the mode from the house, which is the mode that we have in the house for the computers. And it was picking that up. It's not programmed for that. It's programmed for Evo, my Evo code. So then I connected it to the phone, and then the computer recognized it. My little laptop recognized it. Connected to the printer. Everything looked good, but it still, for some reason, isn't receiving. Mm-hmm. I push print and won't do it. To this day. And in the RV, all summer, it worked fine. I could print out whatever I wanted just on my computer. So there's some, for some reason, the signal's not getting in. Which means something is not activated that should be, right? Mm-hmm. In other words, we'll say something's dead that should be alive, right?
Right, yes.
Or something's alive that should be dead.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When you're activated with a different frequency, you can try to hook up all day long and you won't receive the signal. Excuse me. If you are activated with the wrong signal and frequency, if you are activated with the wrong life source, you will not receive from the satellite. And Romans and Ephesians and Colossians, Philippians are filled with code busters. They're filled. This prayer right here in Ephesians 1 that I read to you, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, his family, the citizens of God. And over in chapter 2, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners that can't receive the signal. But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household. Now this is really, of course, it uses the word citizen. Why is that? If you're a son, you're part of a family. if you're a citizen, you're part of a government, kingdom. We're also described a little later down in verse 22, chapter 2, verse 22, as a temple. So, the dish sits on top of the temple. And the temple's filled with the goodness of the satellite that comes through the dish. Right? Now, let's go back to baptism. Why do you need to be water baptized? Because all your signals need to die. All your life source needs to die. All your inner self-life needs to die. Why? So that you can be born from above. You can be connected to God's throne, to God's voice, to the heavenly kingdom. So, it's not just a nice little practice. That's why so many people get wet. They don't really get baptized. And a good rule of thumb as to whether your water baptism, the mystery happened or not, is what? What's a good acid test? Why have some of you had to be baptized more than once? Twice. Maybe next summer too. What? Why is that? What's the evidence, what's the acid test of whether your baptism did what it was supposed to do? Which is, what did your baptism, what did your water baptism, what was it, what's the purpose?
Kill the old man.
To die. To die. You're laid in a grave. It's explained as the watery grave. For what purpose? To kill, to give a death blow to your life source, which is self, so that you could receive his life source, which is going to come after you're resurrected in what? The spirit of Jesus Christ, the resurrection spirit of Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That does what? It regenerates you. It resurrects you into his life, and it connects you to heaven. That's the deal. It connects you to heaven. Now, the satellite and the dish analogy is just a little bit of a type and shadow. In truth, every satellite that's beaming anything to the earth, what's it beaming? It's beaming earth news. It's not beaming heaven's news. Every satellite that's circling this globe, where'd it come from? It came from the earth.
Yep.
And where was it programmed? Programmed from the earth. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not really a pure analogy, because the truth is, nothing of God's kingdom came from the earth. Nothing. Even the saints that are in heaven are not earthy anymore. Everything that they were here that was of the earth stayed here when they left. And saints, defined, are heavenly people, not earthly people. That's why you don't take anything to heaven except your soul. And your spirit go to heaven. So, how important is water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Ghost? So what you have, what do you have in fact if you have wet people who are not baptized in the Holy Ghost going to church, espousing doctrine, talking about the Lord? What do you have? You have wet, earthly people giving messages that will not produce regeneration, will not connect anybody to heaven. What do they connect them to? They connect them to satellite earth stations that are receiving earth messages. What do you think about that?
Well, that's good.
Pretty clear. It's good.
There's a scripture in Colossians 2 that talks about baptism. It says, "In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein you are risen with him through faith that the operation of God has raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having you forgiven you your trespasses."
Okay, so now, what does this have to do with your calling? What does this have to do with your activity in Billings, Montana?
Well, it doesn't bring down the kingdom of heaven.
It should.
I mean, if you're not your earthly, you're...
Well, I'm not. I didn't say other people. I'm talking to you. What, in fact? So I want to take it maybe into another step here. How important are signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Spirit? Let's just think about that for a second. How important is that?
Everything.
It is absolutely everything. Without it, it is the sure, solid, signified, door-shut proof that there's no heavenly connection to that particular vessel or that particular work.
Wow. Mm.
It's not good if it happens. It's nothing if it doesn't happen. There is nothing of heaven that's connected to that work if there's no signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Spirit that accompany the work. Who's the work?
Ministry.
You. Different thinking. The work isn't the ministry. The work is you, Jesse. Uh-oh. Well, now, wait a minute. I'm not ready for that. The work is every one of you. And if signs, wonders, miracles, gifts of the Spirit do not accompany you in some fashion, some way, some form, you are not connected. You are not connected. Your connection can be through the ministry and through the body, and signs, wonders, miracles, gifts of the Spirit can happen to you because you're connected, and that's fine. And guess what? As long as you're here, you are what? You're holy.
Sanctified.
You're holy because of the connection and the relationship of those that you are connected with. That's the grace of God. That's why there's so many people in the church. Most churches, you have very few active satellites, very few active dishes. But it doesn't need too many. Do you understand? I mean, in that terminology. This little deal here, it's a hotspot phone. Anywhere I go, I get a signal. I can connect to the satellite, connect to anything that's there, and I can get on with, say, the internet. I can connect to the kingdom. You see what I'm saying? Just this little phone. And up to 8 people can get online. If I give them my passcode, up to 8 people can be online with me on this phone. And that's probably going to increase as the technology increases. So let's just use that little analogy. You're good for 8 people. Actually, you're good for a lot more than that. But so what is the hope of your calling? That you would continually be sincerely connected through the Holy Ghost in communion and love and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that heaven's storehouse can be released through you at any given time through anybody you meet. You can be heaven's messenger and dispenser of whatever heaven has that's necessary for that person who you're in front of, because you are living, active, born from above, live signal, connected to the King of Kings and through the Holy Ghost to the kingdom of God. Everywhere you go, you're the hot spot. And the hope of our calling is that signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost would accompany us in what we do where we are. Not just the ministry. Now, none of us really have the ability within ourselves to go, oh, you need that, okay, yes, boom, you have that. Yes, I give you life. I absolve you. But we don't have the ability in ourselves, we don't have the authority in ourselves to initiate anything. But here's the thing. What does the dish initiate? Nothing. The dish receives. So here's the really the exciting thing. As long as you're connected, whatever he wants at any given time for anybody you in front of, for any place in the world that you're at, you have total access. And whatever he wants to do through you, whatever he wants to feed somebody through you, now the prayer, whatsoever things you ask, you have. See, we've all read that in the old man. Well, I don't get what I ask for. Well, duh. It's because there's still some live signals coming from you that aren't connected, that don't get to heaven. They need to die. When you... So I've been thinking, what does the Lord want? Because this is where it gets exciting. When you are really connected in love and communion and sincerity and truth and energized by the Spirit, whatsoever you have need of, you will get. And sometimes, you know, there's been so many, you've all seen so many people come up for prayer that apparently don't get healed. apparently right then and there don't get what they ask for. But I've been thinking about some of the things that I've asked 4 years ago that I didn't get 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years after I asked, but I've received them now. I'm having a hard time trying to figure out what it is I've asked for that I haven't gotten. Now, the things I haven't gotten are things that were, I think, obviously just had to do with self, and not in a really carnally bad way. Things I thought I needed. Things I thought were necessary for the kingdom that weren't. I thought the Lord was going to give me a new truck. Back in 1980, my crew cab was, I was needing a new truck. And he brought somebody along that knew a guy that owned a dealership that was a Christian, that, I mean, the whole list went on. But the truck never came, but I found myself in Hawaii, and I found myself laying down the stunt business. I didn't need a truck. And so, when we are really about our Father's business, and positioned, spiritually positioned, we're right where He wants us to be, whether anything's going on or not. Whether we're being used or not, we're still there. And I don't really know what's more exciting. Receiving something for myself or receiving something for someone else. They're both exciting. You know, when the Lord speaks to you or gives you a revelation or causes some really good thing to happen in your life, that's great. But also when He uses you to see that something really good happens in somebody else's life, that's great too. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through Jesus Christ we are connected to heaven. And if we have died in the watery grave and been truly resurrected, how do you know whether I'm pulling you out of the water or whether you're being resurrected? You know? If you're not filled with the Spirit and you're not spiritually regenerated, then you know what? You need to have it done again. You need to walk and pray and ask the Lord what the problem was. Baptism in water is a revelation. You got to have a revelation of what you're doing. And there's nothing wrong with being baptized in water a dozen times if you need it. We have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And then it goes into the metaphor of the temple. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord. in whom you are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And we know that He inhabits us. So, just a little, just felt like need to the Lord wanted to put a little understanding in our spirit as to water baptism, Holy Ghost baptism, to what end? That you be connected to heaven, heaven's storehouse. That you be connected personally as God's son, God's daughters. That you be the receiving center for the blessings of heaven whenever is necessary. And that you think about this, that signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Spirit need to happen in your life through you. That's the sign and the acid test, the seal. That's the proof. That's the proof. Do these signs follow me? Should these signs follow me? And we know what Jesus said about it. These signs shall follow those that believe. They'll cast out demons. They'll have spiritual authority. You think, now, many of you have witnessed deliverance in some form or another. Some of you have been delivered of some form of in some way or another of demons. But that's a sign and a wonder, a miracle, a gift of the Spirit. These signs will follow them that believe. They'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll have authority over spirits. They'll have a protection over their life. They drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You don't have to raise your hand or respond to this, but I wonder how many here don't feel quite mature enough or worthy enough to lay hands on people. And then there's others in the church that lay hands on everything and everybody. And that's not right either. But it's being having access. Having access. Being filled. So,
in Mark 16, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Mm-hmm. Now, all of those things, does one have to experience all of them, or just those, just one of them, or more?
Yes.
So one or more is okay?
All of the above.
You have
it's
to
not
experience them all to
it's,
have... Well,
you, let me put it like this: the question's wrong. You don't have to, in the sense, in one sense you don't have to, in another sense you better.
Well, if you want
you
a validation
need to.
That you believe that
Those things will.
Okay.
So these signs will follow believers.
Right. I've been reading, I've been assuming that if I say I believe, then I do. And I've been reading that wrong. It says, you know, like you said in John 5:24, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life.
How do you know if you believe something?
Well, it just says over here. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be... And it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. So it's
pretty... No signs, no belief.
Well, I don't know. That's what it says.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, I define belief real simply.
Well, he did.
I will tell you what you believe. I can tell you what you believe. All I got to do is watch you and see what you do. Mm-hmm. Nobody does what they don't believe in. Nobody. We are not made that way. I'm not made to do what I don't believe. I'm not talking about an action once in a while, whatever. You know. Whistle Dixie and untie your shoe. Well,
I don't believe it, man.
Yeah. But you will do what you believe. And that was just a revelation. It came to me years ago because of Christians telling me and telling others what they believe in. And me watching them and going, well, geez, if they believe in that, why don't they do it? And then it just was that simple. People do what they believe. And so it's pretty easy to really honestly judge ourselves and our beliefs. It really is. And then one might say, well, what if I find that I really don't believe that? Then start believing in it and start doing it. Do whatever you can do to bring that to pass in your life. And how do you bring these to pass?
I don't know. I'm not interested in holding snakes.
Being connected?
Well, yeah, that's obviously not what that means. But how do you bring that to pass in your life? You set yourself to do it, to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. And by that, you look for opportunities, and you ask the Lord to give you opportunities. You don't even have to do it yourself. All you got to do is dare to pray. And say, Lord, I'm willing to lay hands on the sick and see him recovered if you would just show me the sick. If you just show me who, you know, Lord, open my eyes to those that you want me to pray for, and I'll do it. And he will. You know, you'll have some person complaining about some problem they have. Does that mean they're going to get healed? No. It means you're to pray for them. I've interrupted multiple people. talking about things, and yeah, I've had this problem and everything, and I say, would you mind if I pray for you? Well, you know, but those are opportunities, and so these things, when you believe in something, you'll do it. When you think about it, you may not. Believe, you know, a lot of stuff we think about, we don't really believe, we think about it. But a lot of things happen by responding to what's in front of you. And being able to see this may be an opportunity. And I've missed it a lot. I have. I've missed it. You know, fear, wondering what people would think, not feeling like it's the right time, whatever. You know. I mean, it was a good example down at the coffee shop I told these guys about, I think. But Sunday, maybe? But, you know, when the guys played down at the off the leaf last week, this woman's Mary Fouquet, who we all know, her son comes. He's really a messed up guy, and he's, I don't even know how old he is now. He looks like he's 70. He's probably 50. And just lived a, been a drunk and alcoholic. He still is an alcoholic. But Cece walked over and saw them sitting there right in front of the bandstand. And she says, oh, Mary Fouquet and her son Tom's there, and he wants to see you. And I thought, yeah, I'm sure he wants to see me, you know. I mean, I've met him a couple of times. And so I didn't respond right away. And then Cece says, well, are you going to go over there or not? And so, you know, I had to be prodded a little bit. But I went, and as I sat there next to him, I took three or four songs sitting there. But the Lord eventually, he gave me a word for him. The Lord definitely gave me a word for the guy. And it really, really moved him. It was great, you know. But I wasn't real ready to do that. And but you know, your belief, what the things you really believe, and what is it that I believe? I believe I can sit with anybody. It don't matter. I can sit next to anybody, and if I focus on them, if I incline myself to the Lord, I know the gift of God in me. I'm going to have a word for them. Just the way it is with me. And I believe that. And I know that to be true. There's no doubt. So it's just whether or not I want to give myself to it. And whether or not I feel really that I'm supposed to be there. You know, Ed Beckley's thing was last night, the monster truck thing. And I know he's really busy, and he's a busy guy and everything. I just didn't feel to go to that. You know, he wanted me to go, but he didn't. You know, I called him while he was on his way. He said he'd call me when he got into town. Well, he never called me. And I know he's busy and everything like that, but I just didn't feel to go. So I didn't go. Maybe I missed it, but I just didn't feel any life in it, you know. So I didn't go. But what?
I was with Joe Lanneman, touching up a little bit of work I did for him. And he said, Lloyd, there's someone I want to ask you to pray for. And it's a 40-year-old man that he knows. I don't know the connection with him. But he was having an aneurysm taken care of in surgery at that moment. And apparently it was pretty severe, and Joe was pretty concerned about it. And I said, well, let's pray. And he was sitting in a chair, so I just went over and knelt down. And I said, well, let's pray about it. And he got out of his chair and knelt down with me, and he reached hold of my arm, and we prayed. I came back later on in the day, and he was just smiling from ear to ear. And he said, Lloyd, the surgery went perfect. The guy is going to be all right. He's fine. And he was really excited about it. Is that like what you're talking about?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. That's a sign. Yeah. One more scripture over in Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family in heaven and earth. So it shows the connection. That he would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in your inner man. And all of this is showing access and connection. The connection to the kingdom. That Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowing about him, is basically what that means. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I mean, these scriptures that you've read over and over again will take on a whole new and deeper meaning when you see that the ministry, Paul and the apostles and the epistles and the words of Jesus are to connect you personally through the Holy Ghost to heaven. That there be, that we be connected to heaven. Not just connected to each other or connected to a ministry, but connected to heaven. That signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit would work through you, not just the ministry. The evidence of heaven's existence, the evidence of Jesus being Lord over heaven and earth, is signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit in you. Knowledge, learning, education without power is meaningless.
Confusion.
And that's what we've all been conditioned toward.
Right.
We've all been conditioned to learn and to study and to memorize and to know without the corresponding quickening and power. Even in the church. So, anyway. That's about all I have to say about that.
Is it truly possible to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you haven't in some way laid yourself in the watery grave?
Oh yeah. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit before I was baptized in water.
Yeah.
There's not really a... I think there is an order to it. I really do. But you can even look at... the only reason I say that is because today in formal religion, but if you look at Cornelius' house, they were filled with the Holy Spirit before they were baptized in water.
That's what I was thinking.
Jesus was the opposite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just saying that you need both. But
you need both.
But for some people... What the water will come first for some people, you can fill with the Holy.
Whatever does. But,
yeah.
Whatever does.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, you still, that's why Jesus was baptized in water, to fulfill the law. And we see in Romans the revelation of that. I mean, there was not much explanation as far as John might have explained it, but if he did, it's not recorded. It's explained in Romans, the operation of baptism. And really think about it this way. Who can really know their sins without the enlightenment of God anyway?
Right.
I mean, we know what we've done that's been criminal in nature, or that's violated conscience, or that's violated freedom and and oppressed people or been unkind, been mean, stolen, lied. We know those things. But who has a perfect remembrance of all the lies you've ever told or all the things you've ever done bad? I mean, it's just you. But with the revelation, when you're connected to heaven, then it's easy, because the conviction of the Holy Spirit is fresh and it's new and it's acute, it's sharp, it's all knowing, you know. And when you, I don't think anybody can really truly repent without the Holy Ghost. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, because his one of his singular most foremost purpose and operation on the earth is to reveal sin. And by the way, do you know what Jesus, he said, when the Holy Ghost comes, he'll judge the world of sin. Do you know what that sin is? He explains it. That they did not believe in me. Wow. Think about all the people that are going to say, oh, well, I confessed this sin and that sin and the other sin. They're going to, and the sin that they never were cleansed from was unbelief, not believing in God's Son as the Lamb of God that takes away all their sins. That's the Jewish problem. Don't believe that the Messiah has come. In a sense, you want to wonder what the Jewish people are looking for.
Right.
What more could possibly be done through a Messiah than has been done through Jesus Christ over the centuries? Israel exists today because of the favor of the Gentile church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, the Christian church keeps Israel strong. The United States, that is one nation under God, and historically, whether Obama likes it or not, or anybody else, we're a Christian nation, founded as a Christian nation. The Capitol building was the first church, first national church of this country. You know, they used to meet every Sunday in the Capitol building. They had church.
Hmm.
That's where the church was. Oh, yeah. All the presidents went. And that happened up in, I forget when it stopped, but I mean, it happened for decades.
Hmm.
But, so this is a Christian nation. So, and we are the nation that has single-handedly, well, Britain did for a while, but I mean, supported Israel, and that's why Britain exists today, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm.
Britain suffered a great chastisement of the Lord through Hitler with the way they dealt with Israel. There's no question about that. And he says in his word that nation, he punished the nations that didn't bless Israel. How much more could, you know, England been punished during World War II with those stupid rockets? I mean, you know, but the fact is, this nation has made Israel the strongest nation in the world, really, is for its size.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't think the Messiah's come? And we're all doing it in the name of Jesus, their Messiah. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. But I just thought it would be good for us to start off thinking about this winter, thinking about and getting a deeper revelation of what your water baptism actually did. Is it put a death blow to all the self-life signals that prevent you from hearing from heaven? And that as your sins are manifest, you quickly put them under the blood, confess them, and are renewed in the spirit, and the blood is released upon you so that you can be connected to heaven. We have to have a knowing that we're connected to heaven. And that's why Jesus said these signs will follow those that believe. Mm-hmm. Are an active belief. These signs will follow. Mm-hmm. And that your being filled with the Holy Spirit is the most important thing in your... You've got to have that. You've got to stay filled. And just the little four things that the Spirit gave us Sunday, you know. Mm-hmm. Being sincere and being filled with the Spirit and staying in love and communion, which I think love, having the love of God in your heart and walking in love is walking in the spirit of communion. I think they're communion, love, and faith, all the same thing, really. It's all the same thing. How can you have one without the other? You can't. It's the ingredients to the cake. You know, can you have communion without love? No. Can you have love and not have communion? No. Can you have faith and not have love? No. Faith works by love. I mean, it's all part of the essence of what we need to have every day and be filled with, and looking for His appearing, looking for Him to speak through whoever, looking to hear the voice, and. So anyway, just a little refresher.